from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
On the Fan up until 3:40 this afternoon when we bring in the Washington Nationals and the Milwaukee Brewers this afternoon. And last night the Nationals, hey, did some good work. That's what it's all about. Did some great work last night. Bullpen, solid as a rock. You know, Law, no inherited runners. He pitched well. Garcia was terrific, and then Harvey and Finnegan to close things out. Is there a better set of biceps, by the way, in Major League Baseball than Kyle Finnegan has? Good morning, everybody. Pete Medhurst with you up until 3:40 this afternoon. You know the number, 1-800-636-1067. That's how you get to us here on a Saturday. And before we get into what I want to talk about, first of all, echoing what Doc said, shout out to all those, Doc, Coach Brooks, all the gang out there today that are going to pay their respects to Coach Butch McAdams. Many of you probably did not know who Coach was. Many of you, though, if you listen to this radio station, know who Coach is if you listen to Doc. Doc brought Coach McAdams into our lives, for those of you that did not know him. He was an institution of basketball knowledge. You got smarter every time he came on with Doc Walker. He became an institution on Doc's show, and we are all better for it. Our thoughts and condolences go out to his family and to all of his friends who'll be going to pay those respects to an incredible human being today. First of all, you know me. I'm usually Father of the Year. I'm doing everything I can to be the best dad possible. Today I'm a bad dad. When I committed to this show earlier this week, when the boss, you know, flashed the bat phone, I looked at the forecast and I'm like, you know what? It looks so bad that, yeah, I'll take the show. In fact, I was so confident in the forecast that I said, you know what? Let's combine them. I'll just take the whole time from 11 up to the Nets. And sure enough, as I'm watching the forecast last night and I'm watching the rain just split the Chesapeake Bay, west of I-95, pouring. East of I-95, or east of the Chesapeake Bay, pouring. Right up the middle, though, where my daughter was scheduled to play today, nada, nothing. And sure enough, she's playing this morning. There's nothing worse than watching your daughter or son play sports on Game Changer. It's a great thing. It's not Game Changer. But there's nothing worse than having to watch it on Game Changer because you are not there. So, we've got that, and this morning as I sat down and got ready to do this, I put together 2 pieces of toast with some peanut butter and jelly. It's one of my go-tos. And, of course, I've spilled jelly everywhere. So we're off to a rousing start here on a Saturday morning. We'll pick things up. Hopefully you'll help make it a positive situation as well here at 1-800-636-1067. Here's what I want to talk about. First of all, let's start with the Nationals. The trade deadline is coming for Mike Rizzo. Last night could not have gone more swimmingly for his best pieces that people are going to be calling about, the Jesse Winkers, the Kyle Finnegans, potentially the Hunter Harveys. Those guys all performed well last night. Do you want to get rid of those guys? Of course you don't. But you saw what, you know, in terms of committing to a total rebuild and, you know, setting yourself up to be good for a 10 to 12 year period, you have to get rid of the marketable commodities if they're not going to help you win a championship this year. Are they going to win a championship this year? Not likely. Are they going to win a championship next year? Stranger things have happened, but that building process will continue. If, and only if, because this is the thing. Mike, like, Jamer Candelario is the guy that, at you know, some people thought would be just kind of a, you know, somebody's going to want a veteran hitter. You'll see what you get in return. It's turned out already to get you DJ Hers, at minimum, who looks like a competitive major league pitcher. What he is in the grand scheme of things remains to be figured out. It's a short sample size. How he handles being a major league pitcher is certainly going to be, you know, decided further down the road with more examples. Right now, currently, they've set him down only because they want to manage his innings. You had the ability to bring Cavalli back, who I thought was, you know, very serviceable last night. I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your rear end and say he was sensational. He was amazing, because, I mean, he wasn't amazing. But for his first outing in a while at the big league level, he was decent. You see why they like him and what they like about him. Thought he made some competitive pitches in tough situations. Should have been able to get out of the fifth inning. The unfortunate error by C.J. Abrams with the ball pretty much going through the wickets there that he didn't get that would have ended the inning. That cost, you know, Cavalli a chance to get a win last night. So, I mean, it's semantics, it's analytics. Cost him a win. You know, some guys have incentives in their contract for each win depending on how the contract is written. So, from that standpoint, Cavalli, you know, probably doesn't exit the game totally satisfied, but I thought what you were asking of him last night, he gave you. The bullpen, simply fantastic. Now, going forward, if this group stays competitive the rest of the way, you know, what you get in return could be something that helps you as soon as next year, depending on how desperate. And that's the thing. Other general managers get desperate at this time of the year. Somebody's going to pick up the phone on the other end. I mean, look at how many times San Diego called Mike Rizzo desperate, and Mike just mugged him. Mike just mugged him. He said, I'll take that. I'll take that off your shelf. I'll take that. Thank you. But some general managers get desperate. And look around baseball right now. Bullpens are terrible. Bullpens are terrible. Even top clubs don't have deep bullpens right now. Bullpens are going to be the deciding factor in a number of playoff races and games. There's no doubt about it, because starting pitchers going past the sixth or seventh inning is becoming... Justin Steele the other night, coming off of a complete game, threw 70 pitches in seven innings, and still they took him out of the ballgame. Now, and they had a big lead when they did it, but still they took him out of the ballgame. So, you know, I mean, that's the reality of baseball. We sit here as fans, you and I, we interact on Twitter. Everybody wants to know, hey, how come they didn't let this guy go past the fifth inning or the sixth inning? You know, why, you know, I guess some of you might have thought, why wouldn't they have let Cavalli, you know, that was a C.J. Abrams error. It wasn't like they hit the ball hard. Davey's looking at high leverage situation at that point, and he wants lefty versus lefty against Christian Yelich. So that's why that happens in that situation. But over the next couple of weeks, because the All-Star game's coming, the Futures game is, all those activities are this weekend. This is all coming together now on the draft Sunday. This is the busiest time of the year for a general manager. You heard Mike with the Junkies this weekend talking about a perceptive question by Jason Bishop talking about, hey, these next couple of weeks here really are kind of like your Super Bowl. They're kind of your busiest, you know, time of the year because of all that's happening. How Mike and his staff navigate these next couple of weeks ultimately decides how much more you fortify your system, and then obviously sets up your off season and what you have to go shopping for. Because if you trade away a Finnegan, if you trade away a Harvey, you know, you're looking for back end bullpen help in the off season without question. If you get rid of Winker, you're looking for another left-handed bat as well. So that's the kind of things to watch over the next couple of weeks. 3:40 this afternoon is when we'll head to Milwaukee for another game in this series. Topic number two. For most of this, for most of this non-season, because this is not even OTAs. This is the non-season before we get to training camp. You can't turn a page without somebody asking about, talking about, quoting about Jaden Daniels coming up as the Washington Commanders quarterback. Now, look, you know me. I watch 9,000 college games. Joe Miller and I on the airplanes coming back from our Navy broadcast on Saturdays. We're watching multiple football games. So when we talk about them on our It's College Football podcast, we're actually watching the game so we can talk about the game. If you don't listen to It's College Football yet, you should make sure you subscribe. And especially during the season, in season, it's one of the best. It's some of the best programming you're going to get about college football during the course of the year. And Jaden Daniels he looks the part. And then you saw the video the other night with Brian Daboll and all these different quarterbacks, you know, breaking stuff down on a whiteboard and everything like that. Now, I don't know about you. A guy coming in doing an impromptu whiteboard situation where they're using, you know, incredible long, you know, vernacular. Whatever happened to, and if you've ever played football before, and even if you're closer to my age, you know, you ask yourself, whatever happened to fake 38, you know, give 43? It used to be real simple. Now we've got to use, you want to know why we get delay of game penalties? Because we have coaches that use some of the longest vernacular and phrasing to call plays. By the time you get this thing in off the headset, into the quarterback's ear, and then he has to repeat it to everybody in the huddle, you want to know why sometimes they run out of time? That's why they run out of time. That's why they run out of time. Coaches won't take the responsibility for it. They won't shorten it up. It's their fault that the quarterback runs out of time because you're giving him a play that's got like 90 words in it. And watching Jaden Daniels and the other quarterbacks during those segments, you know, you're meeting somebody sometimes for the first time. You know, they want to talk to you about maybe parts of an offense that you didn't run where you are. And that's where the Daniels situation is going to come in, I think, to a benefit of Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels played for Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly's offense has a lot of pro characteristics within it, a lot of pro reads, and I believe Jaden Daniels is going to benefit from that and the fact that he's already been coached hard. So now Dan, Cliff, the rest of the offensive staff, they're not going to coach Jaden Daniels any harder than he was coached by Brian Kelly at LSU. And during that time, when you watch Jaden Daniels, a kid who had all kinds of pressure on him when he was at Arizona State as a freshman, and he handled it brilliantly, brilliantly. Just ask Brandon Ayuk, who was there with him at Arizona State at that time, as we've all talked about here in this offseason. You've got a quarterback that has already been mentally battle-tested. He's played in the Pac-12. He's played in the SEC. He's played against the best defensive minds in college football. He's played against the best defensive talent, the best athletes out there on the corner. And you've got a guy that all he has to do now is fit with Cliff Kingsbury. Fit to what Cliff Kingsbury is asking him to do. And Cliff also has to do some things that fits what Jaden Daniels would like to do. If these two can come together and find a lot of common ground, find things that are going to allow this football team to thrive when it goes to the air, then this football team is going to be better. How many wins does that ultimately translate? I can't even tell you how many conversations I've listened to about the NFC East here in the offseason. Yeah, you got people that think Dallas is going to win 13. You got people that think Dallas is going to win 8. I'm like, come on, what are you talking about? You know, we know Philadelphia and Dallas have the players. They have the roster to win 10 or more games. The question about both of those clubs is coaching. that's ultimately what will derail the Eagles or the Cowboys this coming season. It'll be their coaching. It won't be the roster. Both, I mean, who's covering CeeDee Lamb? CeeDee Lamb is as excellent a route runner as we have, not only in the division, but the game right now. If Dak Prescott can stand up and throw him the football, CeeDee Lamb's going to get open more often than not. And that alone is going to allow Dallas to be effective every Saturday, or Sunday rather, when they come to the football field. Yeah, they got to figure out who's going to run the football. You know, Dak, will he break your heart on 3rd and 5? Will he get 6 against you, keep drives going? Sure, he's certainly capable of that, even though everybody wanted to make a big fuss about the ankle being in a boot the other day. Jalen Hurts will do the exact same thing for Philadelphia. Philadelphia has talent on the outside, oozing with it. Question is, will they be able to protect Hurts? You know, ultimately, is the question. And will he be able to stay healthy? Can he at least play to the level he's played at over his first couple of years in the division? So we know what those two teams are. Giants, complete wild card. Complete wild card coming into the season. Are they better? Did they help their roster? Sure, absolutely. Did they help it? Absolutely. Again, how many wins does that translate into? Same thing can be said about Washington. The roster, I believe, is better heading into training camp. Ultimately, how many wins it translates into depends on who's hurt for the other team when you play them, who's hurt for you when you play them. And that is what gives everybody hope, though, heading into the NFL season. The best part is we're closing in on training camp, and eventually it'll be the play on the field that we can talk about instead of the coulda, woulda, shoulda, maybe, mighta here coming up so far in this offseason. 1-800-636-1067. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Steve Lennox is going to talk. We're going to talk baseball. Paul Skeens mania sweeping the country right now. We'll talk with Steve coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Pino Sports with you till 3:40 on a Saturday afternoon, live and local right here on 106.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Wimbledon decided in 3 sets this morning. Good tennis. The question ultimately for the women's side, when we had Serena and we had, you know, a real marketable star in the women's game, the question is, who's taking that mantle in the sport? I mean, you had a 21 and a 7, I think it was, playing this morning. By the way, I want to correct myself because I'm a donkey. Jackson Rutledge on the mound, not Cavalli, last night for the Nationals in that one. But you know, we saw Serena hosting the ESPYs this week. She did an awesome job. She's fantastic. She and her husband have done incredibly in business. And, you know, as I tell people all the time, if there are 3 people that you would want to, you know, get some business advice from right now, in the athletic community, maybe 4. Yeah, because you always have to include Michael Jordan with what he's done with the Jordan brand. But Michael, Serena, LeBron, and KD have crushed it in business. Talk about that all the time, about, you know, what they've been able to do during their careers, outside of their careers. And Serena, I mean, look, that's kind of coming out. I thought that was kind of coming out of her comfort zone, you know, the other day as well. And for those of you that even watch it, I only watch, you know, bits and pieces of it because I'm not going to sit there and watch 2 or 3 hours of the ESPYs. I'm just not going to do that, especially when there's other stuff on that I can watch in the sporting community of live events and stuff. I thought it was great to see her out in that capacity because I believe she brings something, you know, to the sports world and certainly to young women to see an idol there in that situation. Other thing I want to talk about before we get Steve Lennox to the bottom of the hour, I don't know how many of you stayed up last night to watch the Wizards Summer League outing last night. And, you know, look, when your team stinks, you draft high. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts. When you stink, you draft high. All eyes, at least for us last night, are on Alex Saar. But your eyes need to be on Bob Carrington. I believe Bob Carrington is going to be an absolute star in the NBA. This is a young man, still quite young, going to be 19, I think, in a week. And this is a young man, though, that has grown up around the game and a great community for basketball. Dad, obviously, being a coach as well. So he's had that constant mentor the entire time. And this year, when you watched him at Pitt, as the season went on and the games got bigger, Bob Carrington was better and better. And I thought last night he came out and showed you against an equal and in some cases lesser jabronis out there during Summer League just how good he is. And I think that's exciting. Guy that can pass, a guy that can shoot, guy that gets arms in the passing lanes, got good size. Saar last night gets a rebound, starts the fast break, throws a great bounce pass to his left to Bub, who goes cross court for George and a three. And then the next time down, Carrington finds Johnny Davis for a three. These are big plays in the fourth quarter as Atlanta had wrestled the lead away briefly. And this young core of future Wizards that you're going to depend on, they come right down and they make winning plays. And that's when I watch basketball, I don't especially in Summer League, look, we're going to see a bunch of playground-like stuff. I mean, that's just, you're going to see a lot of Barry Farms-like action. In fact, sometimes the action at Barry Farms is better than it is in an NBA Summer League. But the fact was, the three of the guys that you need to be part of the core going forward make winning plays. They made winning plays last night. And that tells you their mind as basketball players. They were focused. They were dialed in. They understand, hey, we got to make that first impression. We got to show Will Dawkins and the gang that we're dialed in and ready to go. And I thought that was phenomenal work in the fourth quarter of that game in particular last night with those guys. So, yeah, I mean, I know it's one Summer League game, so we're not going to anoint them all NBA third-teamers so they can get that max deal like Bradley Beal did. But as this team is supposed to be rebuilding, these parts look really nice right out of the showroom. You know, just like when you buy that car. It looks great coming out of the showroom. It's nice and clean. They have it all vacuumed inside. They put that fancy smelling stuff in there so it smells great as you drive it away before you mess it up. Like, if you could see the inside of my car right now, it is just unbelievable. I could spray some Lysol in there right now. I could spray some Gain air freshener, all that stuff, and it still wouldn't help. That's what happens when you have a child that plays travel sports and you're on the move all the time. But, you know, that was great to watch right out of the gate last night. We'll take some calls on that, give you a chance to chime in a little bit later on if you stayed up and watched that, because I know many of you in the basketball community here, you want the Wizards to be decent. You want, when you pay the price to go down there and watch those games, you at least want the product to be better. And a couple of these guys looked the part as the cars rolled out of the showroom last night. I thought that was exciting. You know, Richa Shear, the kid that went number one for Atlanta, I thought he looked the part last night. Richa Shear, I mean, he looked the part last night. So, you know, that's a part that's going to help them. And because he's a guy, too, that played in basically pro ball at 16, was traveling and playing in other countries at 16, there's a maturity that you can get with a 19-year-old. And he certainly showed that last night. It's been very, very polished in a lot of his interviews. Been very impressed with him. And ultimately, I think both guys are going to help their respective franchises. And Bronny's game was what it was. I mean, everybody in basketball knows he must work on his shooting. He cannot shoot the basketball right now. Couldn't shoot it at USC last year. and can't shoot it right now in the NBA. We all know what this is about. And look, if the Lakers are willing to let LeBron and his kid have the moment, yeah, let them have their moment. That's between LeBron and the franchise. And, you know, ultimately, it's will they keep putting butts in the seats in that famed arena? Of course they will, because it's the Lakers. It's the purple and gold. But, you know, doing it at the expense of a roster spot that's probably the 15th roster spot, you may think it's a big deal. But how many guys that are 15th on the roster impact an NBA team? Not many. Not many. And that's all this is. That's all this is right now. That's all he's going to be good enough for. I mean, they got some other guys that I think are going to make an impact. The Hinson guy could shoot it. I think he's going to make an impact for them. Connect looked great. So that, to me, is, you know, those are guys that are going to eventually impact the Lakers. Dalton Connect, look, remember, Dalton Connect's a little bit older. He looks the part. And he's looked the part so far in this summer league. Coming up, going to talk baseball with Steve Lennox, Paul Skeens mania. It's rampant around the country. The Orioles and Yankees had a little dust up at the ninth inning last night. We'll talk about that with Steve Lennox, the host of Lennox on Baseball, and we return right here on 106.7 The Fan. With you to 3:40 until the Milwaukee Brewers and the Washington Nationals, game two of that series wraps up tomorrow, and then the All-Star break. Most teams certainly need it. The Nationals, you bet. They see that yellow tape at the end of this first half marathon here. They are ready to sit down for a few days, especially the bullpen that's running on fumes right now, as they got a big win last night over the Brew Crew by a score 5-2. Shout out to the Brewers, though, wearing the Seattle Pilots-like colors, which, of course, that's where the Brewers were before they were the Brewers. They were the Seattle Pilots for 1 year out in Seattle. Pleased to talk some baseball right now with the host of the Lennox on Baseball podcast, one of the solid play-by-play guys in the country as well, my man Steve Lennox. Steve, appreciate a few minutes this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pete. How are you?
Always good to talk to you, my friend. James Wood, he's our new superstar here in D.C. All eyes have been on him. And for a young player, he has seemingly handled the first couple of weeks with calm and with some quality as well. And you and James Wood have a little bit of a connection.
Yeah, and it's in talking to a couple of people, exactly what you're saying is James Wood. And it goes to his family. So Nationals, Mets just a few weeks ago, and he makes his big league debut, Pete, and he steps in the box, and I'm actually where I'm at. I'm watching the Nationals, but I'm watching the Mets. So Gary Cohn's talking about James Wood in his first major league game, his first major league at bat, and he gets a base hit against the Mets. And he starts talking about the eastern end of Long Island and New York and his father, Kenny Wood. I'm like, you're kidding me. And then all of a sudden, there's Kenny Wood on the screen. I was in junior high when James' father was a standout, not only basketball player, but he was a terrific pitcher as well in high school at East Hampton High School on the eastern end of Long Island. And I'm old now, so the fish that I caught last week wasn't 6 inches, it was, you know, 24 inches. I was, the hyperbole of the story is, I know I was in the gym as a junior high kid watching Kenny Wood play for East Hampton High School. And at the time, he was trying to become the all-time leading scorer in high school in New York State. So I was in the gym, I believe it was either against Southampton or Bridgehampton, and Bridgehampton was a big rivalry. Both of those, this is the Hamptons, Pete, before it was the Hamptons.
Right, sure.
Right? And there's Kenny Wood, and there's his son getting a base hit. But Kenny played down the road from you at Richmond, 4-year career with the Spiders in basketball. And as you say, James Wood, it's a tribute to his family. And it was so great seeing that moment for his family and for him and what he's done so far in the big leagues.
Yeah,
that's the tie-in.
Yeah, no question. And look, I mean, Kenny was terrific at the University of Richmond. I mean, all of us that have, you know, followed college basketball around here for years, watched him in
but
the
CAA. But he was a great high school pitcher too. I don't know if scouts ever came to look at him or anything, but he was a very good high school pitcher.
I was going to say, James had probably somebody throwing as good a batting practice to him growing up as anybody then.
There you go.
During that time, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, I mean, look, and I said this on one of the post-game shows earlier when he first came up, and I do believe it is a testament to Kenny and his family and the upbringing of the young man, because the young man is calm, He's polite. He's and
polite is a big word there.
And nothing seems too big for him, though, Steve. Even after a couple of games where he's not had success, you know, he handles this with a professionalism you don't see out of a lot of 22 and 23-year-olds. And I think that those are the types of things, though, that, Steve, we've watched baseball, we've watched sports long enough. What separates the people, the good from the average and the great from the good is the folks that can stay even keel. That's the most impressive thing about him to me, is there is an even keel to his approach, calculated in everything that he does. And having a father that played high-level athletics, I think, has to go a long way to helping support that, because his dad played in a Richmond program that in that town at that time under Dick Tarrant, I mean, they were the only game in town, and all eyes were on you. And I have to believe that that helps him a little bit, playing in all the high-profile environments. St. John's locally here, it's one of the best baseball programs in the country. And then obviously his time down at IMG. I mean, I just think all of that kind of coincides to help a young man. Do you not?
I agree 100%. And if you look up the road in Baltimore, I think Jackson Holliday will be similar in that of he had a father who played at the big league level. He had struggles, but understands this is baseball. You're going to fail. It's a game of failure. We know that. We can throw that cliche out there, right? But it's it is. And you know, his experience not only locally in Maryland playing baseball, but then going to IMG, understanding what it's like around professionals, around people who understand we're trying to get you to the elite level.
You talked about it last night on your podcast. Look, let's go north. I mean, Yankees, Orioles, how much of that was Brandon Hyde trying to light a fire for his team at a critical time against the opponent? I mean, you don't do this if this is, you know, the Seattle Mariners, or the Detroit Tigers. This is your opponent. This is the team. I talked about this the other day. The Yankees have four guys, Steve, that make more money than the entire Orioles payroll. Okay? This yep. is your opponent. This is Darth Vader right here. How much was that him trying to light a fire under his team who's struggling right now, as much as it was about the activity that's gone on between the two teams, where there have been an irregular number of players that have been hit in the matchups between the two?
And why are the Yankees the only team that can take exception to somebody getting hit in the helmet with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball?
Yeah.
We're allowed to hit your guys, but you can't hit our guys.
There was a still photo, too, Steve, of a guy in their dugout that is...
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
I mean, is that... maybe that's what, you know, kind of rubbed Hyde the wrong way. I don't know. But I think there was some calculation behind what Brandon Hyde did last night.
I agree. And any manager you talk about, again, cliche of, you know, the manager's fighting for us. Aaron Boone's fighting for his team right now. Even though it's really hard to defend some of the things that the Yankees have been doing in the last handful of weeks. But, yeah, absolutely. You know, Brandon Hyde, you know, what was said, who knows who actually said it. I don't think we still know. I thought initially he was just going after Aaron Boone, but it might have been Trevino, the other catcher. I thought Kevin Brown and Ben McDonald did a terrific job with it on the broadcast. But, yeah, I mean, they could have said, hey, Brandon, do you want to go out to dinner after night? We're paying. He was going to go after the dugout. He was going to take care of his guy, Heston Kerstedt. He was going to take care of every single guy in that dugout in that moment. But he took a fastball to the head. Why can't we take exception to that? Call him out on it. They're going to be upset if Aaron Judge gets hit, and rightfully so. That's your guy. This wasn't Gunnar Henderson, who's already been hit in the series. This was a young talent for the Orioles. He got hit in the head. If he had just gotten hit, you know, and was Clay Holmes doing it on purpose? Yeah, you have to think to a certain degree he was. But you don't go up that high.
Right.
You want to hit him on the shoulder. You want to hit him, you know, you want to hit him above the below the waist. Okay, that doesn't happen. You got the guy in the helmet with 97.
Yeah, I mean, and look, this Clay Holmes is not just some jabroni that came up from Double-A, you know, trying to overthrow in his first outing, too. This is a guy that's been in a number of situations, so he knows what he's doing out there. And look, I have no problem if you want to come inside with an 0-2 pitch. That's part of the game. But going inside and going up that high,
dangerous.
To me, That's dangerous, right? That's player safety right there. Nobody wants to get hurt. Ultimately, and look, I brought up that point. I mean, four guys making more than the entire Orioles payroll. Cole looked last night as close to as Cole has been, maybe as close as Cole is going to be coming off of that type of injury. But, Steve, if they get that kind of Cole the rest of the way, now, and I do believe it's a ticking time bomb because anytime you have that kind of arm injury, it is. But if they get that Cole for the duration, that puts them in a pretty good spot right now to have somebody opposite of Burns that if these two were to link up in a series, more than likely, you know, that Burns has been good, but Cole's a guy that has the kind of stuff that can beat him. And if you beat Burns right now, that gives you a great advantage, I think, in some kind of series against the Orioles.
It does. But as Cole, you know, the Yankees staff, he did a great job prior to him coming back. And it was like, wow, you know, the Yankees are where they're at right now. Luis Gil, Rodon, Stroman, you know, Clark Schmidt was a big loss for them. All of a sudden, that guy was throwing six innings of two-run baseball every fifth day. I'm not even sure what his status is right now. But, you know, the guys behind him have to continue to do that as well. Stroman, behind him in the rotation. I mean, if you lose that start with Gerrit Cole making the start, then you have Stroman. I don't know that I necessarily rely on him. Luis Gil has been a great story to this point, has had a couple of bumps in the road recently, but, you know, might be on track. He's going to have to continue pitching the way he's pitched. You know, but Cole, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's sign up Cole Burns, you know, game one of a series, then later in the series. I'd certainly take that. But, you know, we know what the Orioles have behind Burns. They need more. We know that. What can they do in the coming weeks? And don't discount the Yankees going out there and saying, hey, you know, if the Orioles are in on somebody, we're going to be in on them too. But the Orioles have more to give up if they're willing to do it and still not bat an eye. They've got plenty of talent in their system, especially at the upper levels. The Yankees, remember, they just traded for Juan Soto. They have pieces in their farm system, but they're not as deep. So competing there in the next couple of weeks of the trade deadline, the Orioles should be able to add if they're willing to give up over the Yankees, because I just don't think the Yankees have enough at the upper levels to compete with what Baltimore has.
How much do we discount the Cleveland Guardians, even though we probably
ooh.
Shouldn't?
I love Jose Ramirez. I really like that team. I don't know their farm system well. I know they brought a lot of guys up this year, and it seems like every guy they bring up has some sort of contribution in a positive way almost immediately. And Steven Kwan, the guy who gets on base, they've got a more balanced lineup. They still don't have a huge lineup. I mean, they're not going to, you know, a couple of years ago I was on pregames nationally with ESPN Radio, and back-to-back weekends and extra innings, you know, it was an exercise in futility of not getting, you know, not scoring runs in extra innings, and they were 1-0 extra inning games. That's still the Guardians. But, geez, I absolutely would not. I would not push past them at all. I would not discount them because, you know, I'm not crediting Terry Francona, but Stephen Vogt still had a lot of talent when Terry Francona decided to walk away, and Vogt seems to be a very good manager for that team right now.
Before I let you go, Paul Skeens, all of us that watch college baseball knew this young man was doing it every Friday night in the SEC, but it's really translated so far here in his big league career. And unlike some of these other flamethrowers, Steve, there's an ease to his mechanics. There's not a violence to his mechanics because everybody's like, oh, at some point he's going to get hurt. But, man, what a makeup and what a brilliant start for this guy. And bravo to Major League Baseball for sensing, hey, we might have a budding superstar here. That loves to get out there, loves to smile, understands the game, wanted to meet Bob Uecker when they were in Milwaukee the other day, understands the history of the game. Let's get this superstar out there in front of the country. He's going to start for the National League. What a great start for the LSU right-hander.
100%. And, Pete, you have ties to Navy. We know that. That's how we met. Remember, he started at the Air Force Academy.
Yeah.
And I was watching a video of him last night, and he was a hitter at one point. He was a two-way guy at Air Force, and I saw him against, I think it was at Texas in Austin, where he had a home run and, you know, kind of flipped the bat and all of that stuff. I love the fact that he's willing, and I was trying to draw a comparison earlier this week, you know, and to the Nationals and to Steven Strasburg. from afar, never knew the personality of Steven Strasburg. Very much to himself, the organization, I think, and rightfully so, protected him over the years from the media. He did talk to the media, but you just never, there was never a personality there. It seems like Paul Skeens has a personality. It seems like he's willing. I mean, not getting into who he's dating, but that's a power couple right there. In that world.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he's kind of coming out right now, and they're letting him enjoy it. You know, you talk about the stoic, you know, all those different things, but he's, you know, he's enjoying this. He is a personality. Baseball needs those guys because, you know, it is every single day, but he pitches every fifth day. I'm glad it's coming out. And yeah, I mean, you know, well, he shouldn't start the All-Star game because he hasn't paid his dues or whatever. I don't like that argument. And we're arguing over, you know, should he start Tuesday or not? It's over one inning. He's going to pitch one inning. He's going to face Gunnar Henderson. He's going to face probably Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in that first inning. Sign me up.
Yes.
I'm there.
Yes.
I'm there. I'm a huge baseball guy, P, and I need a break. You talked about the Nationals needing a break, going to your last break, right? I need a break a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yep.
But now that Skeens is going to start, and that's going to be the first inning in Arlington, I'm going to be there at 8:30 or whatever it is on Tuesday night.
No doubt about it. Steve, appreciate the visit. Hope it's the first of many. And enjoy the All-Star game coming up on Tuesday night.
Thank you. Enjoy your day. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Steve Lennox, the host of Lennox on Baseball. It's a terrific podcast. Does it daily. Make sure you check it out. If you're a baseball fan, you'll be a lot smarter each day by doing so. Coming up after the top of the hour, college football's media days are taking place, and the landscape of college football is going to look incredibly different this year. Wait till you see who's playing in the ACC and more. We'll talk about it with Joe Miller coming up at the top of the hour. 1-800-636-1067. It's Pete on Sports with you till 3:40 right here on 106.7 The Fan. Not being there did not affect performance. Kelly Medhurst and her Northern Calvert Fury teammates, 11-1 winners over Virginia Rogue this morning as she pitched and got the victory this morning. Always feel bad when I'm not there because she hates it when I'm not there. She wants Pops to be in attendance. But the sunshine had more ideas this morning. We thought it was going to be a rainy Saturday. Now it's going to be hot. Now, if you're going out to the Savannah Bananas tonight, by the way, which are in town, I was trying to get tickets off the secondary market. Look, we just had the NFL get gouged, you know, in court. They're going to lose like $4 billion or something over Sunday ticket. Well, when can we crush these?
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
With you to 3:40 until the Milwaukee Brewers and the Washington Nationals game 2 of that series wraps up tomorrow, and then the All-Star break. Most teams certainly need it. The Nationals, you bet. They see that yellow tape at the end of this first half marathon here. They are ready to sit down for a few days, especially the bullpen that's running on fumes right now, as they got a big win last night over the Brew Crew by a score 5-2. Shout out to the Brewers, though, wearing the Seattle Pilots-like colors, which, of course, that's where the Brewers were before they were the Brewers. They were the Seattle Pilots for 1 year out in Seattle. Pleased to talk some baseball right now with the host of the Lennox on Baseball podcast, one of the solid play-by-play guys in the country as well, my man Steve Lennox. Steve, appreciate a few minutes this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pete. How are you?
Always good to talk to you, my friend. James Wood, he's our new superstar here in D.C. All eyes have been on him. And for a young player, he has seemingly handled the first couple of weeks with calm and with some quality as well. And you and James Wood have a little bit of a connection.
Yeah, and it's in talking to a couple of people, exactly what you're saying is James Wood, and it goes to his family. So Nationals Mets just a few weeks ago, and he makes his big league debut, Pete, and he steps in the box, and I'm actually where I'm at. I'm watching the Nationals, but I'm watching the Mets. So Gary Cohn's talking about James Wood in his first major league game, his first major league at bat, and he gets a base hit against the Mets. And he starts talking about the eastern end of Long Island and New York and his father, Kenny Wood. I'm like, you're kidding me. And then all of a sudden, there's Kenny Wood on the screen. I was in junior high when James' father was a standout, not only basketball player, but he was a terrific pitcher as well in high school at East Hampton High School on the eastern end of Long Island. And I'm old now. So the fish that I caught last week wasn't 6 inches. It was, 24 inches. The hyperbole of the story is I know I was in the gym as a junior high kid watching Kenny Wood play for East Hampton High School. And at the time, he was trying to become the all-time leading scorer in high school in New York State. So I was in the gym. I believe it was either against Southampton or Bridgehampton. And Bridgehampton was a big rivalry. Both of those. This is the Hamptons, Pete, before it was the Hamptons.
Right, sure.
Right? And there's Kenny Wood, and there's his son getting a base hit. But Kenny played down the road from you at Richmond, four-year career with the Spiders in basketball. And as you say, James Wood, it's a tribute to his family. And it was so great seeing that moment for his family and for him and what he's done so far in the big leagues.
Yeah,
but that's the tie-in.
Yeah, no question. And look, I mean, Kenny was terrific at the University of Richmond. I mean, all of us that have followed college basketball around here for years, watched him in the
CAA. But he was a great high school pitcher too. I don't know if scouts ever came to look at him or anything, but he was a very good high school pitcher.
I was going to say James had probably somebody throwing as good a batting practice to him growing up as anybody then.
There you go.
During that time, there's no doubt about it. But look, and I said this on one of the post game shows earlier when he first came up, and I do believe it is a testament to Kenny and his family and the upbringing of the young man. Because the young man is calm, he's polite,
is a big word there.
And nothing seems too big for him, though, Steve. Even after a couple of games where he's not had success, he handles this with a professionalism you don't see out of a lot of 22 and 23-year-olds. And I think that those are the types of things, though, that, Steve, we've watched baseball, we've watched sports long enough. What separates the people, the good from the average and the great from the good is the folks that can stay even keel. That's the most impressive thing about him to me, is there is an even keel to his approach, calculated in everything that he does. And having a father that played high-level athletics, I think, has to go a long way to helping support that, because his dad played in a Richmond program that, in that town at that time under Dick Tarrant, they were the only game in town, and all eyes were on you. And I have to believe that helps him a little bit, playing in all the high-profile environments. St. John's locally here, it's one of the best baseball programs in the country, and then obviously his time down at IMG. I mean, I just think all of that kind of coincides to help a young man. Do you not?
I agree 100%, and if you look up the road in Baltimore, I think Jackson Holliday will be similar in that of he had a father who played at the big league level. He had struggles, but understands this is baseball. You're going to fail. It's a game of failure. We know that. We can throw that cliche out there, right? But it's it is. And his experience, not only locally in Maryland playing baseball, but then going to IMG, understanding what it's like around professionals, around people who understand we're trying to get you to the elite level.
You talked about it last night on your podcast. Let's go north. I mean, Yankees, Orioles, how much of that was Brandon Hyde trying to light a fire for his team at a critical time against the opponent? I mean, you don't do this if this is, the Seattle Mariners, or the Detroit Tigers. This is your opponent. This is the team. I talked about this the other day. The Yankees have four guys, Steve, that make more money than the entire Orioles payroll. Okay? This is your opponent. This is Darth Vader right here. How much was that? him trying to light a fire under his team who's struggling right now as much as it was about the activity that's gone on between the two teams where there have been a irregular number of players that have been hit in the matchups between the two.
And why are the Yankees the only team that can take exception to somebody getting hit in the helmet with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball?
Yeah.
We're allowed to hit your guys, but you can't hit our guys.
There was a still photo, too, Steve, of a guy in their dugout that is...
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
I mean, is that... Maybe that's what, kind of rubbed Hyde the wrong way. I don't know. But I think there was some calculation behind what Brandon Hyde did last night.
I agree. And any manager you talk about, again, cliche of, the manager's fighting for us. Aaron Boone's fighting for his team right now, even though it's really hard to defend some of the things that the Yankees have been doing in the last handful of weeks. But, yeah, absolutely. Brandon Hyde, what was said, who knows who actually said it. I don't think we still know. I thought initially he was just going after Aaron Boone, but it might have been Trevino, the other catcher. I thought Kevin Brown and Ben McDonald did a terrific job with it on the broadcast. But, they could have said, hey, Brandon, do you want to go out to dinner after night? We're paying. He was going to go after the dugout. He was going to take care of his guy, Heston Kerstedt. He was going to take care of every single guy in that dugout in that moment. But he took a fastball to the head. Why can't we take exception to that? Call him out on it. They're going to be upset if Aaron Judge gets hit, and rightfully so. That's your guy. This wasn't Gunnar Henderson, who's already been hit in the series. This was a young talent for the Orioles. He got hit in the head. If he had just gotten hit, and was Clay Holmes doing it on purpose? Yeah, you have to think to a certain degree he was. But yeah, go up that high.
Right.
You want to hit him on the shoulder. You want to hit him, you want to hit him below the waist. Okay, that doesn't happen. You got the guy in the helmet with 97.
Yeah, I mean, and look, this Clay Holmes is not just some jabroni that came up from Double-A, trying to overthrow in his first outing, too. This is a guy that's been in a number of situations, so he knows what he's doing out there. And look, I have no problem if you want to come inside with an 0-2 pitch. That's part of the game. But going inside and going up that high,
dangerous.
To me, that's dangerous, right? That's player safety right there. Nobody wants to get hurt. Ultimately, and look, I brought up that point. I mean, four guys making more than the entire Orioles payroll. Cole looked last night as close to as Cole has been, maybe as close as Cole is going to be coming off of that type of injury. But, Steve, if they get that kind of Cole the rest of the way, now, and I do believe it's a ticking time bomb because anytime you have that kind of arm injury, it is. But if they get that Cole for the duration – that puts them in a pretty good spot right now to have somebody opposite of Burns that if these two were to link up in a series, more than likely, that Burns has been good, but Cole's a guy that has the kind of stuff that can beat him. And if you beat Burns right now, that gives you a great advantage, I think, in some kind of series against the Orioles.
It does. But as Cole, the Yankees staff, he did a great job prior to him coming back. And it was like, wow, the Yankees are where they're at right now. Luis Gil, Rodon, Stroman, Clark Schmidt was a big loss for them. All of a sudden, that guy was throwing six innings of two-run baseball every fifth day. I'm not even sure what his status is right now, but, the guys behind him have to continue to do that as well. Stroman, behind him in the rotation. I mean, if you lose that start with Gerrit Cole making the start, then you have Stroman. I don't know that I necessarily rely on him. Luis Gil has been a great story to this point, has had a couple of bumps in the road recently, but, might be on track. He's going to have to continue pitching the way he's pitched. But Cole, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's sign up Cole Burns, game one of a series, then later in the series. I'd certainly take that. But, we know what the Orioles have behind Burns. They need more. We know that. What can they do in the coming weeks? And don't discount the Yankees going out there and saying, hey, if the Orioles are in on somebody, we're going to be in on them too. But the Orioles have more to give up if they're willing to do it and still not bat an eye. They've got plenty of talent in their system, especially at the upper levels. The Yankees, remember, they just traded for Juan Soto. They have pieces in their farm system, but they're not as deep. So competing there in the next couple of weeks of the trade deadline, the Orioles should be able to add if they're willing to give up over the Yankees, because I just don't think the Yankees have enough at the upper levels to compete with what Baltimore has.
How much do we discount the Cleveland Guardians, even though we probably
Ooh.
Shouldn't?
I love Jose Ramirez. I really like that team. I don't know their farm system well. I know they brought a lot of guys up this year, and it seems like every guy they bring up has some sort of contribution in a positive way almost immediately. And Steven Kwan, the guy who gets on base, they've got a more balanced lineup. They still don't have a huge lineup. I mean, they're not going to, you know, a couple of years ago, I was on pregames nationally with ESPN Radio, and back-to-back weekends and extra innings, you know, it was an exercise in futility of not getting, you know, not scoring runs in extra innings, and they were 1-0 extra inning games. That's still the Guardians. But, geez, I absolutely would not. I would not push past them at all. I would not discount them because, you know, I'm not crediting Terry Francona, but Stephen Vogt still had a lot of talent when Terry Francona decided to walk away, and Vogt seems to be a very good manager for that team right now.
Before I let you go, Paul Skeens, all of us that watch college baseball knew this young man was doing it every Friday night in the SEC, but it's really translated so far here in his big league career. And unlike some of these other flamethrowers, Steve, there's an ease to his mechanics. There's not a violence to his mechanics because everybody's like, oh, at some point he's going to get hurt. But, man, what a makeup and what a brilliant start for this guy. And bravo to Major League Baseball for sensing, hey, we might have a budding superstar here that loves to get out there, loves to smile, understands the game, wanted to meet Bob Uecker when they were in Milwaukee the other day, understands the history of the game. Let's get this superstar out there in front of the country. He's going to start for the National League. What a great start for the LSU right-hander.
100%. And, Pete, you have ties to Navy. We know that. That's how we met. Remember, he started at the Air Force Academy. Yeah. And I was watching video of him last night. And he was a hitter at one point. He was a two-way guy at Air Force. And I saw him against, I think it was at Texas in Austin, where he had a home run and, you know, kind of flipped the bat and all of that stuff. I love the fact that he's willing. And I was trying to draw a comparison earlier this week, you know, and to the Nationals and to Steven Strasburg. From afar, never knew the personality of Steven Strasburg. Very much to himself, the organization, I think, and rightfully so, protected him over the years from the media. He did talk to the media, but there was never a personality there. It seems like Paul Skeens has a personality. It seems like he's willing. I mean, not getting into who he's dating, but that's a power couple right there. In that world.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he's kind of coming out right now, and they're letting him enjoy it. You know, you talk about the stoic, you know, all those different things, but he's enjoying this. He has a personality. Baseball needs those guys because, you know, it is every single day, but he pitches every fifth day. I'm glad it's coming out. And, yeah, I mean, you know, well, he shouldn't start the All-Star game because he hasn't paid his dues or whatever. I don't like that argument, and we're arguing over, you know, should he start Tuesday or not. It's over one inning. He's going to pitch one inning. He's going to face Gunnar Henderson. He's going to face probably Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in that first inning. Sign me up.
Yes.
I'm there.
Yes.
I'm there. I'm a huge baseball guy, Pete, and I need a break. You talked about the Nationals needing a break, going to your last break, right? I need a break a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yep.
But now that Skeens is going to start, and that's going to be the first inning in Arlington, I'm going to be there at 8:30 or whatever it is on Tuesday night.
No doubt about it. Steve, appreciate the visit. Hope it's the first of many. And enjoy the All-Star game coming up on Tuesday night.
Thank you. Enjoy your day. I appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Steve Lennox, the host of Lennox on Baseball. It's a terrific podcast. Does it daily. Make sure you check it out. If you're a baseball fan, you'll be a lot smarter each day by doing so. Coming up after the top of the hour, college football's media days are taking place, and the landscape of college football is going to look incredibly different this year. Wait till you see who's playing in the ACC and more. We'll talk about it with Joe Miller coming up at the top of the hour. 1-800-636-1067. It's Pete on Sports with you till 3:40 right here on 106.7 The Fan. Not being there did not affect performance. Kelly Medhurst and her Northern Calvert Fury teammates, 11-1 winners over Virginia Rogue this morning as she pitched and got the victory this morning. Always feel bad when I'm not there because she hates it when I'm not there. She wants Pops to be in attendance. But the sunshine had more ideas this morning. We thought it was going to be a rainy Saturday. It's actually, now it's going to be hot. Now, if you're going out to the Savannah Bananas tonight, by the way, which are in town, I was trying to get tickets off the secondary market. Look, we just had the NFL get gouged, you know, in court. They're going to lose like $4 billion or something over Sunday ticket. Well, when can we crush these secondary ticket markets? I was looking at two tickets, standing room only, $101 each. That's fine. Until they get $41 fees for each ticket and then $8 fee. So instead of 201 or 202 is 301. I'm not paying $301 for two tickets. That was criminalistic right there. Criminalistic. So those are the people we need to go after next. If we're gonna bang the NFL for Sunday ticket, no one holds you, just like no one held me hostage, so I didn't order those tickets today. No one holds you hostage to buy Sunday ticket, yet the court said the NFL is gonna pay $4 billion. So for those of us that had Sunday ticket, I did not buy it on the YouTube price, because then you gotta buy YouTube on TV on top of it. It becomes another money grab there. And obviously last year I was doing halftime and postgame for the Ravens, so I'm watching that game more often than not, you know, in the stadium, and you know, and that's just so there's no need for me to buy it off of YouTube at the exorbitant price that they paid last year. But when you pay the NFL a gazillion dollars in rights fees, that's why you then have to turn around and tell the consumer, oh, by the way, Mr. Consumer, Mrs. Consumer, we're going to take your money and a lot of it if you want to watch every NFL game. Somebody had, my nephew and his niece had, they have this thing on, I think it's Roku TV or Fire Stick, where they get like a gazillion channels. And they get like a lot of the local channels in like the Midwest, the West, and stuff like that. You can end up watching a lot of decent football games in the NFL or college football Saturday through something like that. And I thought that was pretty neat. That might be a great alternative to something like that, and to get a lot of sneaky product during the course of the sports year, especially if your teams have a day off or something like that and they're not playing, but you still want to watch a baseball game or a football game, something like that. Thought that was something really interesting to get into. One of the reasons why college sports has gotten into where we are right now, TV pays a lot of money to televise it. There are going to be a lot of teams doing some geographical traveling this year of epic proportion. We'll talk about it next with Joe Miller, the co-host of the It's College Football podcast, and of course my color analyst on our Navy football broadcast, which began coming up August 31st as the Mids host the Bucknell Bison to start the football season. But where does college football leave the service academies? Army and Navy are both in the American now. Air Force picked fourth this week, for those of you out at the Pentagon in the Mountain West. So we'll see where it leaves the service academies, because they don't participate in NIL. And that's usually the first thing out of a family's mouth right now, whether that's right or wrong, when it comes to college sports. We'll talk about it next with Joe Miller right here on 106.7 The Fan. Not being there did not affect performance. Kelly Medhurst and her Northern Calvert Fury teammates, 11-1 winners over Virginia Rogue this morning, as she pitched and got the victory this morning. I always feel bad when I'm not there, because she hates it when I'm not there. She wants Pops to be in attendance. But the sunshine had more ideas this morning. We thought it was going to be a rainy Saturday. It's going to be hot. Now, if you're going out to the Savannah Bananas tonight, by the way, which are in town, I was trying to get tickets off the secondary market. Look, we just had the NFL get gouged, you know, in court. They're going to lose like $4 billion or something over Sunday ticket. Well, when can we crush these secondary ticket markets? I was looking at two tickets, standing room only, $101 each. That's fine. Until they get $41 fees for each ticket and then $8 fee. So instead of 201 or 202 is 301. I'm not paying $301 for two tickets. That was criminalistic right there. Criminalistic. So those are the people we need to go after next. If we're gonna bang the NFL for Sunday ticket, no one holds you, just like no one held me hostage, so I didn't order those tickets today. No one holds you hostage to buy Sunday ticket, yet the court said the NFL is going to pay $4 billion. So for those of us that had Sunday ticket, I did not buy it on the YouTube price, because then you got to buy YouTube on TV on top of it. It becomes another money grab there. And obviously last year I was doing halftime and postgame for the Ravens, so I'm watching that game more often than not. you know, in the stadium, and you know, and that's just so there's no need for me to buy it off of YouTube at the exorbitant price that they paid last year. But when you pay the NFL a gazillion dollars in rights fees, that's why you then have to turn around and tell the consumer, oh, by the way, Mr. Consumer, Mrs. Consumer, we're going to take your money, and a lot of it, if you want to watch every NFL game. Somebody had, my nephew and his niece had, they have this thing on, I think it's Roku TV or Fire Stick, where they get like a gazillion channels, and they get like a lot of the local channels in like the Midwest, the West, and stuff like that. You can end up watching a lot of decent football games in the NFL or college football Saturday through something like that. And I thought that was pretty neat. That might be a great alternative to something like that, and to get a lot of sneaky product during the course of the sports year, especially if your teams have a day off or something like that and they're not playing, but you still want to watch a baseball game or a football game, something like that. Thought that was something really interesting to get into. One of the reasons why college sports has gotten into where we are right now, TV pays a lot of money to televise it. There are going to be a lot of teams doing some geographical traveling this year of epic proportion. We'll talk about it next with Joe Miller, the co-host of the It's College Football podcast, and, of course, my color analyst on our Navy football broadcast, which began coming up August 31st as the Mids host the Bucknell Bison to start the football season. But where does college football leave the service academies? Army and Navy are both in the American now. Air Force picked fourth this week, for those of you out at the Pentagon in the Mountain West. So we'll see where it leaves the service academies, because they don't participate in NIL. And that's usually the first thing out of a family's mouth right now, whether that's right or wrong, when it comes to college sports. Talk about it next with Joe Miller right here on 106.7 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.